Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Sit back and relax. It's Masters Week.
I was so pleased to just be there and be playing at Augusta.
Everybody understand? There is silence. Hearts stop. Hearts stop beating.
Normal now, a side hill 20-footer. The line is perfect. He's got it.
Never in the history of golf has a more popular champion been crowned. Jack Nicklaus, for the sixth time, has won the Masters Golf Tournament.
Now, this is pretty neat, pretty special. This is Augusta National. This is Bobby Jones's place. That's the clubhouse. This is it.
Hard to believe, 21 years old. This for the record.
There it is, a win for the ages.
Have you seen anything like that?
It's pretty special, you know, to be a part of such an elite company like that. I've been pretty fortunate, pretty lucky to have had some success in this golf course.
You just see him in front of the fire with a pipe. Well, you're not allowed to do that now. He'd be in bed in an hour and a half's time with a bowl of gruel, electric blanket on low.
He's missed it and he's knocked it. He's knocked it 3.5 feet past the hole.
Oh, no. Oh my word, he's chunked it. He has chunked it, and Jordan Spieth is sinking without trace of the Masters. This is extraordinary.
He's done it. What a way to finish. Oh, what a way to finish. That really is wonderful. He's answered a whole lot of questions.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you the 2018 Masters champion, Patrick Reed.
There we are. Just as I speak, Shane Lowry in the par three has managed a hole-in-one, and his wife and daughter were there, and he's hoisted his daughter up in the air, and everyone's having a good time. So, good man Shane Lowry, having a nicer day than all of us watching the Oireachtas Committee this afternoon. In a moment, we'll go to Andrew Cotter and Lawrence Donegan. First, Rory McIlroy, very much the favourite going into the Masters 2019.
I know I've played well enough and I've shot enough good scores around here over the years that I'm going to have a good chance to do well here. So, but it's definitely different. My mindset is a little different in terms of still practicing. I'm still getting better at not getting ahead of myself, not thinking about the tee shot on Thursday or not thinking about, you know, what is to come this week. And that's something I probably will never stop trying to learn or to practice. But I'm in a good place with it. You know, I keep saying this, I would dearly love to win this tournament one day. If it doesn't happen this week, that's totally fine. I'll come back next year and I'll have another crack at it.
So McIlroy very zen these days, and Tiger Woods hasn't shown much thus far in the season, but certainly believes he's arrived in good form and can compete.
I can win. I've proven that I can do it. And I put myself there with a chance to, you know, win the last two major championships of the year last year, and I was right there, and just needed to have a couple more things go my way and not throw away a couple shots here and there, which I was able to do at East Lake. And I just feel like that I've improved a lot in the past about 12-14 months, but I've more than anything I've just proven to myself that I can play at this level again, and I've worked my way back into you know, one of the players that can win events.
Andrew Cotter of the BBC, you're there?
I am indeed. Hello, hello.
Oh, hello. What a voice. And Lawrence Donegan?
I can't believe I'm on with Andrew Cotter. It's a career highlight for me, Joe.
I'm excited about this because we as Scots are pretty much whittled down to just having Sandy Lyle at the Masters. So it's nice to get two Scots on to talk about the Masters.
How many Scotsmen does it take to preview a Masters is the burning question.
No, exactly.
My favourite stat thus far, no player in the current world top 10 has won the Masters. Lawrence?
Isn't that astonishing? Mm. I read that yesterday as well, Joe. Absolutely. It kind of proves the... proves what Dermot Gleeson was saying the other day when you had him on. Nobody knows anything, really. We're all just guessing. Again, what does that say? Does it say that form doesn't matter? I don't know. Does it say that Augusta you know, looks for peculiar things in its winners. It's I mean, it all kind of adds to the magic of the occasion, I guess, is probably the only sensible thing I can say.
Andrew, I presume you're on site at this stage. We're hearing lots about the weather. Talk to us.
You know, I was on site, but I raced back to do this at the place we're staying. I'm still pretty much on a golf course nearby. But, the weather at the moment is glorious. It's very, very warm. It's suddenly very warm and sunny as it is today and tomorrow. And then it gets a little bit duller and cooler. But Sunday, it's a bit of a concern on Sunday, but I hear contingency plans that they might even with a very, very small field and just obviously a few players making a cut, not a few, slightly more than a few, but they have got an option of starting because the weather forecast isn't too bad for Sunday morning, starting really early on Sunday. So we could be seeing somebody slipping into the green jacket at about midday over here. So there we are, early afternoon finish over there. So, but again, that's just a contingency. But they always get very lucky with it in terms of getting it done Sunday, because the worst nightmare for anyone is going into a Monday finish at the Masters.
Mm. And is it set to get very wet? Because we're hearing that it is going to be, and the course will lengthen and it may suit the longer hitters. But then equally, I've heard other people wondering if it will get so wet that the par fives might be beyond the reach even of the longer hitters, and that will bring the shorter hitters into it. So which hitters are being suited here, Andrew?
Well, I mean, listen, the course is very soft at the moment. I was out there having a little walk around today, and it's still very soft underfoot, but they have got the sub-air system, so they were all working 20 to the dozen, drawing as much moisture out of the greens and some of the fairways as possible. But the course is drying out pretty quickly anyway, and it's very, very hot and dry today and tomorrow. So it will be playing long. There's no doubt about that. It'll be playing long in the first round, and you know, you have to say that plays even more into the hands of someone like McIlroy. So no matter how zen he is appearing to be, and that is certainly the best way of describing it, his press conference, with his meditation and the way he's going about things, that even with all that, there's so much pressure on him because he knows he's in the best form of his life just about. Well, whether his putting clicks and all. But coming into it, he's been so consistently good. And the course is pretty much to his liking and the conditions. So, you know, what a chance.
Yeah, that's the general refrain, isn't it, Lawrence, that this is about as good a chance, like genuinely as good a chance as McIlroy has ever had or probably will ever have, given his form.
Well, we don't know if it would be the best chance he will ever have, because he could be playing brilliantly at the start of next season. But yeah, you know, this is as good as we've seen him. Mm. And this is, more importantly, it's probably as consistently good as we've seen him. You know, if you look at, if there's any knock on McIlroy in years past, you know, his highs are very high and his lows are, you know, not super low, but they're low. There's a big gap between there's a big margin between both. This time he's the band is narrower. And what does that say about him? I think it says that, you know, that he is more consistent, he is more even. And if you look at his travails over the Masters past, a lot of them have involved blow-ups. You know, he's gone triple bogey, 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 you know, instead of going triple bogey, birdie, birdie. Mm. So he's kind of chucked it on occasion. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you wonder if he isn't. It was a great little phrase he said in his press conference yesterday, mind, body, soul. It's just the way he said that, and I thought, wow, I'm quite impressed by that. And you just kind of wonder if he's got himself into a space mentally where he will be able to kind of face up to the adversity that's inevitably going to come his way, you know, and deal with it and move on. So, go on, Andrew.
I mean, no, just to go, he always speaks well, doesn't he, in press conferences, but he spoke so well yesterday in the phrases you said, you highlighted one. He also said perspective and perception. He was talking about those two words and how he doesn't want to, he's not defined by his results. And again, whether that is just front and just talk and he doesn't really, I think he does believe that he, you know, if he wins the Masters, so be it. If he doesn't, so be it. He desperately wants to win it, of course, but that him and his career are slightly bigger than just slipping on that green jacket. So, I mean, he always talks so, so well, but I you do genuinely get the impression that he is in a very good place, to use that phrase, that he's very happy at the moment, and if it comes, it comes.
So his finishes this season, I think people are well aware at this stage, Lawrence, are so consistently good. Fourth and a fifth and a fourth and a second and a sixth. And then he won the players and almost reacted in business-like fashion as if this was just another step on the road to Augusta. The match play has that strange quality that you don't want to read too much into. So he arrives here with the consistency, as you've mentioned. If you were to break down his game, you know, from tee to green and putting, certainly his driving stats, I think, are off the charts good. His general play, what's jumping out at you with regard to Augusta?
Well, what's jumping out to me is his putting, really. Again, his strokes gained putting, you look at it, I think he's T56 on the PGA Tour right now. I mean, it's not fantastic, but it's pretty darn good, you know. And such as his advantage, strokes gained tee to green, you know, even, again, we've said this countless times, if he even putts decently, he wins. You know, because his game, tee to green, is just so much better than everybody else, or a lot better than everybody else. It seems odd to me that Andrew talked earlier about the amount of pressure on him. It's almost like a penalty for playing well in the first start, the first couple of months of the season. I feel sorry for him. But he's got the game. I mean, he's always had the game. That's the thing. It's just, you know, it's between the years. Can he calm himself? Can he, you know, accept that things are going to go wrong at some stage and can he deal with it? Yeah. But in terms of his physical game, he's phenomenal right now. Just phenomenal.
Because, look, he is human, you know, and he's not immune to pressure. And, Andrew, I always think, okay, the final round last year, it's hard to forget that putt on the second.
Exactly.
But it's hard to forget his drive on the first, which was just bizarre bad. And that was nerves, you know. So he's not immune to pressure and the scale of what he could achieve here.
You know, that round, that 74 last year, that missed eagle putt on the second, where we thought, right, here we go. He knocks it in so close, and you think, right, but the challenge is on, he's going to boss things here, and Reed's going to crumble, and suddenly he didn't, and the challenge to Reed had to come from others, from Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler. And that round stands out, and also, I know it's a long time ago, 2011, but that final round there, that there have been rounds where he has just lost his way a little bit, and his timing, when it's slightly off, means big misses, because his club head speed is so great and his power and his athleticism is so great that when his timing is slightly off, as it would surely be when you're feeling that pressure of perhaps, you know, entering the Grand Slam club, then that's the one concern. But you know, that the longer it goes on for McIlroy, that the Masters remains the missing piece in the jigsaw, then the harder it's going to get. So you kind of want him to get it done as quickly as possible. But again, we stress that this year, you'd say he has as good a chance as possible. But you can make a case for a number, I think four or five players that have got great chances to win. What I would say is McIlroy's going to be up there. You know, top five, top ten certainly, top five probably, and he just find the one or two shots that are going to give him the green jacket.
Yeah, it's going to be really fascinating. Obligatory Tiger Woods question, I'm afraid, Lawrence. I was listening to him being interviewed a couple of weeks back, and he was making the point that even though his body is back in a good place, he has to be very careful about the amount he practices. And he said he can't really work very much in technique. He said he can only work in his swing with wedges. If he goes and works in technique with any bigger clubs,
it takes a
toll on his body. Yeah, sure. I'm wondering, and it's just putting two and two together and maybe getting four, you look at his performances this season, I'm half wondering if he's using these tournaments to work on technique at times because he can't practice the way he might ideally want to practice, and if he might arrive here and suddenly blossom before us, because the form this calendar year has not quite been what his best stuff was from, say, British Open summertime on last season.
Yeah, you might, these guys do that. I mean, they always want to win a tournament if they're teeing up at the PGA Tour, but, you know, he's on the greens. I mean, if you look at his form this year, I think the principal problem has been his work on the greens in and around the greens. He hasn't really putted that well. And, you know, when you think he's in a PGA Tour event, he's going to try and hold as many putts as possible. It's not about practice at that point. Yeah, it just all seems a bit flat with Tiger. But again, Augusta, you just think, he's got so much institutional knowledge, he's got so much history there. He clearly knows how to play the course as well as anybody in the modern game still. I mean, he doesn't lose that. But you just wonder, physically, you know, he's won the Masters in the past without his best game. But, I mean, the level of talent now, the level of competition is just insane. You know, Tiger with his A game against Rory with his A game, or Tiger with his B game against Dustin Johnson with his B game, that's going to be close. Whereas, in, you know, 10 years ago, you would have said, oh, Tiger with his B game, beats anybody else with their A game. And you just wonder if he's there now. But again, that institutional knowledge, you know, that experience, that, that might give him an edge. But he's going to have to play at the absolute top of his game.
But that's why I wouldn't read too much into his results on the PGA Tour this season, because as Lawrence was saying there, he's not going to get fired up for playing those tournaments. And, you know, he will be trying, even subconsciously, trying a few things out and not operating in fifth gear. When he comes here, the old scent is in the nostrils again, and he will be, I think he'll be a different character this week. I think we'll see something closer to the Tiger Woods of Carnoustie or the Tiger Woods of the USPGA last year when you know, he came close to winning his 15th major. So yeah. I think, you know, all I would see from Tiger so far is that he's not been playing dreadful golf. He's been playing some pretty good stuff in patches. So that's encouraging as much as anything else.
Yeah, and if he does get into that position... Yeah, sorry, Lawrence, go.
Just see, your idea that he's using these tournaments... Remember, he's on 80 PGA Tour wins, you know. He's only two behind Snead.
Yeah.
That's a big target for him, you know, and that's probably, you might say, what would you rather have, to beat Snead or win another Masters? You know, it's a toss-up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great point.
No, you're right. I mean, he will, that's right. That will be an incentive. So, I know, he won't be using Metallica's practice, but I just think that he'll have a different feeling when he's here, and he is a different beast at Augusta. He'll do his usual thing. He'll snap hook one off the first down the ninth fairway, and he'll find his way out, and he'll work his way around because he knows how to get around this course, and he can still, his club head speed with his driver is still, you know, pretty enormous, so he's got some distance. So I think I think he'll be there or thereabouts, but I think it'll be a bit of a stretch for him to win. But, you know, again, him being in contention will give enough people enough of a buzz about the tournament.
Hey, well, think of Carnoustie around the turn last year. I mean, it was just unmissable stuff. And then, I don't know, did he wobble under the pressure? That bogey at 10 had the feel of a man who was feeling the stress. Hey, you talk about institutional knowledge. And Donegan, I don't want you to say a bad word about my boy Jordan Spieth here, or we're ending this phone call. So his Masters form, tied second, win, tied second, tied 11th, and then last year, even in the midst of terrible form, third, and he was on course but for a branch on the 18th to shoot a 62 and take down Patrick Reed inevitably in the playoff. So Jordan Spieth, he said last week on with the No Laying Up fellas, Lawrence, that he seems to have fixed his issue, you know, is it an alignment thing? He wasn't seeing the blade correctly, you know, he thought it was open, it was closed, he thought it was open, but he's got to the bottom of it, he says, and he did okay in Texas, a few schizophrenic rounds. So,
he always do, he does play Augusta brilliantly, doesn't he?
Brilliantly.
He's the thinking man's course, and he is clearly a thinking man. Yeah, I mean, I can't say anything bad about him. You're right. When he plays awfully last year, gets to Augusta and almost wins it. There's just something about the place. But you know, he misses an awful lot of short putts these days. I mean, he looks like he's got the yips. He takes far too long to. Takes too long to think about the short ones. He can do it at Augusta, but there's just too many guys are playing really, really well right now, you know. And I just don't think he's there. I don't think he's a player. There's a lot of talk about guys whose game just disappears.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, you know, guys like David Duval or guys like Anthony Kim. I know Kim actually physically disappeared, and I just wonder. You look at Jordan Spieth's technique. I mean, he's obviously clearly a brilliant player, always been a winner from the age. When he was a junior, he was winning golf tournaments by streaks. But, you know, I just think when you get to this elevated level of the pros, you know, with that technique, it's kind of quirky. Does that sustain a career? I just wonder. But again, you'll probably obviously go out and win again next week, win on Sunday.
Lawrence, I did want to ask you, with your kind of fairly vast knowledge, I appreciate his quirkiness, tee to green. Can't disagree with that. Has there been in the history of the game a putter as brilliant as Spieth whose putting has deserted him so quickly and crucially so young? Has that ever happened before?
Now you put me in a spot if you'd ask me. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, there's been guys with quirky swings who've done really well. Ray Floyd.
Yeah.
Trevino.
I mean, the great putters strangely seem to remain great putters, you know, Crenshaw, Lauren Roberts, Brad Faxon, you know, these guys putted up very well through into the, you know, still putting well. So I can't think of any that have I can think of many that have lost their game. I can't think of many that have dramatically lost their putting. Most players' putting tends to, you know, tends to fade a little bit as they get older. They're not quite as sharp or confident, but they don't drop off a cliff in the way that some people lose their whole game.
Yeah,
I think what's different, Spieth's game puts, I think, more than anybody else in the kind of recent history of the game, the rest of Spieth's game puts so much pressure on his putting. You take a guy on, you know, a guy like Trevino of quirky swing, but I mean, his game was phenomenal. I mean, his tee green, nobody struck the ball better than him. Jordan Spieth's a pretty, for a guy who's, you know, been at the top of the world rankings for a long time, his ball striking is pretty poor, and that puts a lot of pressure on his putting. And how long, you know, mentally, it must be so wearing, time and time again, to be hitting the ball out the trees, you know, and trying to up and down from 120 yards or 90 yards. I mean, that gets you in the end, I think.
No, it's true. It's still extraordinary that it's happened to him in his mid-20s in the space of 18 months. I just, I couldn't think of another example like it, so I don't know, we'll have to see how he goes. A few other names to throw at you. Dustin Johnson, Andrew, the great underachiever when it comes to majors. You know the talent. He's won twice this year in Mexico and Saudi Arabia against a very good field. And his 20 PGA victories.
Yeah, I think Dustin Johnson, we all look at him and think, oh, he's so laid back. I think he really feels the pressure in the majors far more. There's far more going on under the surface in terms of stress than we see on the surface, because he has got the game, and we see it in WGC events. We see it in lots of regular tour events. Yes, he has won a major, but I did pick him elsewhere as a winner this week. But again, you could pick, you know, five players who have got great cause for selection. So he does have a wonderful record here, barring that miss year when he fell down some stairs. But I think, you know, he's likely as not to be a top five player without actually winning it. I wonder whether he does have he might have a loose shot in there coming down the stretch around Augusta that really is going to cost you.
Yeah. And what about his friend Brooks Koepka? You figured
it's bizarre. It's bizarre what he's done. It's just
the weight loss.
He did this weight loss that, well, exactly. Now, if he's done it, and I still haven't seen the ESPN body issue, I don't know when it comes out, but, you know, reports that he's doing it for that, to really get ripped for that. You know, if you're doing that, and he says put the weight back on now, perhaps the photo shoot's done, but then he lost his game, lost a bit of distance, lose the tempo, and then that's fine if the weight comes back on, but you've lost then a bit of confidence.
Yeah.
So you've lost a bit of momentum with your game. Now, this guy is the best player was the best player in the world last year, has a great record round Augusta, again, when he's fit. Why would you do that? It's just extraordinary.
Because this ESPN body issue is going to be around for a long time, and you want it to look good.
Fair enough. Actually, I totally agree with him, to be honest. Yeah. I say go for it.
It is bizarre. I think he lost the guts of 12 yards off his driving length, Lawrence, just for the body issue.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I would say about Koepka, he's never really been a momentum player, is he? I mean, if he wins a major championship, it's kind of out of the blue.
Yeah.
You know, and then he'll disappear for a while and then he'll come back. And so he's one of these guys that gets themselves up for major championships. I would say I would much rather take Koepka over Johnson because I think Koepka's proven himself to be a big time player, you know, a guy who kind of rises to the occasion. To me, Johnson, okay, he's won 20 times in the PGA Tour, but he always looks susceptible to me down the stretch. Yeah. I mean, I'm not really buying the kind of laid back, well, I am to a certain extent buying it, but, you know, I think it gets to him. He gets a bit twitchy, especially in the very, very big occasion.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
He's won a major championship.
And interestingly, Koepka did a press conference recently. It was like a nothing. I just caught it on YouTube. It was a nothing tournament. And he was saying, frankly, he didn't mean it in an arrogant way. It was just matter of fact. He said, I find this game so easy that in a regular PGA Tour event on the Friday, if I'm not leading by four shots, I just get frustrated and angry and peeved off. Whereas he said, in a major, it's the four tournaments a year, I can just bring a level of patience. If I have a bogey or a double bogey, it's fine. And he's trying to replicate that in his PGA Tour events. It's interesting, most players are trying to take their PGA form into majors. Koepka seems like he could be just a major machine. Like he's, won three in no time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, go on. Well, I was just going to say that's the difference between Brooks Koepka and Tiger Woods. The Tiger wants to win every time he tees it up, you know, or he did want to win every time he tees it up. But, I mean, winning's a habit. I'm not sure that, again, that's sustainable. I mean, winning's a habit. The more you win, the more you like it, the more you get used to it. And I know it's, I mean, Kekta's approach has served him well thus far. Three majors, but you know, what's he? You know, he's got the talent to get to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever. Mm. But if he doesn't get, if he doesn't capture the winning habit, then you just wonder how far he'll go. Yeah. But he's got a chance, I would say.
So
when you win majors, you get that knowledge that many multiple major winners have talked about. But actually, it sounds perverse, but it's easier to win majors than I think you think when you haven't won them, because you think, I've got to do something extra special to win a major. But actually, you just got to cut out a mistake. You've got to wait around. People will make mistakes around you under the pressure coming down the stretch. And so he knows that actually, if you just hang in there, other people might falter. And so that's the way. You don't have to do something spectacular. It doesn't have to be a challenge. It doesn't have to be the greatest golf in your life to win a major. That's what Padraig Harrington always talked about when he went on his amazing run. So Brooks Koepka does have that knowledge in the bank that he knows how to win a major.
Yeah. So as we begin to wrap this up, this thing is so open. It just feels like golf is more open than ever. Are there any other names that, Lawrence, you want to throw our way? Like, we haven't mentioned Ricky Fowler, second last year, 8 top 5 major finishes. You have to feel he'll win soon. John Rahm. You've got Paul Casey knocking around. People like the look of him. Molinari's off the back of a brilliant year. And there's about 30 other guys as well.
Well, I'm kind of interested in how the weather plays out. You know, you know the rain is off course. You would think it would play into long hitters, but you look back, you know, the two worst Masters of recent years, 2007, 2008, Zach Johnson and Immelman. You know, Zach Johnson won the Masters without going for a par 5 and 2. And the course, I mean, I know the longer hitters are even longer now, but if the course is incredibly soft, they've lengthened the fifth by 50 yards or whatever, 45 yards.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if that would bring in guys like Xander Schauffele, a guy like that, Brendan Grace, some guys like that. You know, great, great ball strikers, very neat and precise players. You have to say Molinari falls into that category, although he's got a bit more length now. So if I was asked to, a guy like Grace or a guy like Xander Schauffele, in the leaderboard on Sunday afternoon, there's going to be at least one short hitter in there, and you know, I think he's played one Masters before, somebody like that, or Molinari. I think, you know, he's going to be in contention for everything he plays, such as his form right now.
Yeah.
So somebody like that, Molinari, Schauffele.
Yeah, but Justin Rose, I mean, he's still the world number one. He won't be, no matter what happens this week afterwards, I think Koepka's coming up. But I mean, you know, he's second, 10th second in his last... He was 12. He was just outside the top 10 last year. But he's got a great Masters record. Again, he's not setting the heather on fire this year. But there are so many players who do well at Augusta time and time again. And Justin Rose would be one of those. Bubba Watson, you know, he's bubbling away. He's not playing great golf. But again, he's not horrendous. And then he comes back here and he just knows what to do around Augusta.
No, it's true. I don't think any of us want to live in a world where Freddie Couples isn't in the top 10 on Thursday evening. Yeah, exactly. I guess we got to wrap this up. Andrew, a grizzled professional that you are, I presume that even you still look around at the azaleas and think this place is pretty cool.
Yes, the party line. Yes, I do. I think.
Give us the truth.
You know, Augusta's an amazing place. It's an amazingly beautiful, sculptured place, but it is artifice in everything. It's not what it originally was in terms of a golf course, but it is. Look, it's still got some magic about it, and I grew up loving the magic of the Masters. I think sometimes, Lawrence might agree, when you work here for a few times, you see behind the curtain in the Wizard of Oz, and you think, actually, it's not an easy place to work. It's an amazing place, is what I'll say, Augusta. It's a strange and fascinating place, and it so often produces, you know, Mike Weir against Len Matisse apart occasionally. It so often produces great drama, and that I still love that.
Yeah. Lawrence, what does the Masters mean to you, or how do you classify the Masters?
Well, to me, it's always been the start of the golf season. I mean, I know we've had a lot of golf so far, but it's always Sunday night, parked in front of the TV, Sandy Lyle hitting that shot at the bunker. You know, for me, it's that. But there's also, again, it's a bit like a movie set, really. it's so perfectly painted, and you know what you see on TV is not really what it really is. You know, you walk off the premises in downtown Augusta or, you know, watching the road is pretty grotty. Mm. But it is. It's brilliant drama. It's great sporting drama. And, you know, and it's a beautiful setting. There's also, for me personally, there's a history of the club, but, you know, but we'll not go into that. This is probably not the moment to go into that kind of stuff. I mean, it has a long and checkered history.
Yeah.
But it is a great golf tournament. It places golf, and it, my favourite sport, places it front and centre of the sporting universe. So it's a great week.
Yeah, no, it's true. And look, the history is very, very checkered, and recent history of that, it is a factor. Gents, we'll let you go. Thanks so much, Lawrence. Thanks a million for checking in. And Andrew Cotter, enjoy the week. We'll be keeping an eye on the BBC. So thanks again.
All right, cheers, no worries.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.